Where we left off last night. And last evening, what we did was we took the time to talk about what trouble is. And we saw that troubles are things that are very difficult. They are things in our life. There are diverse problems from all kinds of places. And we saw last night that the diversity is not just based on the trouble itself, but on the emotional responses that we have. Where some things we get angry, and some things we get afraid, and some things we get discouraged, and some things we get confused. All kinds of things happen to us. And so tonight we're going to try to take the time to answer the question, why is it that we have trials? So let's pray together. Father, give us now wisdom as we look into your word, for we are convinced that your word gives us the answer to every situation of life. And Lord, we confess that there are things that are complex, and we confess that there are things that are beyond us, and that we need your help in everything and in all things. And so, Lord, we trust you, and we rest in your good hand in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 1 tonight, we'll begin reading in verse 2, and our focal point will be tonight on verses 3 and 4. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials." And then he says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." James begins by telling us the reason for our trials. He starts out by seeking to expand our understanding. He said, "Knowing this." All of us who go through trials in our life will at some point and sometime ask the loaded question, why? And do you know what? For the believer, ignorance is not a blessing. That actually for the believer, understanding is crucial. He says, knowing this, understanding this, we need to know what is going on in our life. And he reveals and shows us that behind every trial in our life, there is a consistency. And I like to even go so far as to say a uniformity in the purpose. Do you understand what I mean by that? All trials are unique, all right? They're tailor-made for us. By the way, God knows how to get to you. And if you think you can hide from God or protect yourself, if God can get a guy out in the middle of a battlefield, take an arrow and shoot it, okay? And when Southern terminology will say he wung it, and he fired it up in the air, not knowing where it was going to go, and that arrow went right between the connecting pieces of the armor of the king called Ahab. And that arrow went right between the two pieces as they connected and went right inside him and killed him. And he had no idea where he was firing it. God knows how to get to where we are, okay? God knows what irritates you. God knows what causes you to be afraid. God knows what causes you to be angry. The Lord knows you. He knows your down sitting, you're uprising, he is behind you, he is before you, and he is with you. God knows you. And so, all of our trials are unique. However, they are consistently uniform in their purpose. And there is a threefold purpose or process in a trial, and I'd like to give that to you. He says, first of all, that in every trial, what's being tried is your faith. Your faith and your dependence on God is being put to the test. Number one, that's the first thing. Number two, that trying of your faith is producing something in your life, and that is endurance. And the end result of endurance is producing a maturity, a Christian maturity in your life. So we have the threefold process behind every trial: trying of faith, producing of endurance, which in the end produces maturity. So let's look at those three things, because those are things that are happening in our life. Number one, the first thing he tells us is our faith is being tried. Notice what he says in verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith." Realize this. your trust in God, whatever it is being put to the test. And the word test there is the idea of proving something as genuine. You know, the older you become as a Christian, you have to understand that your faith is not just the faith you had when you believed at the initial point of your salvation, but it is faith that continues all the way along. And that's very, very important. When the Bible gives us a picture of the Christian life, Hebrews calls it a race. And do you know what? A race has a start, a race has to be run, and the race has to be finished. And folks, you don't win the prize if you don't finish the race. And do you know what the prize is? It's called heaven. You have to run the race. So all along the way, the initial faith that you had at the moment of your conversion is constantly being tried and tested to prove that it is real and genuine faith, that you really are trusting in the Lord. Oftentimes, the trials of our faith are called fiery trials. And what does fire do to gold? It is always purifying or drawing out of it the dross. Now think with me a moment. All of these negative emotions that come out of us during trials are the very things God's trying to draw out. Anger, fear, discouragement, depression, confusion, pity, all of those things that come out of us is what God is using to purify us. He wants those things to come out of us because He's in the process of maturing our character and making us Christ-like. So we have to understand that these things are very valuable in our life. A trial is purifying your faith. It's making your faith of a higher quality. It is removing the impurities. Instead of your Christian life being always up and down, He wants it to be solid and consistent. Everybody here, all of you know people who are godly. Okay? You know people like that. And you know it by the way that they live, by the way they respond. And you look at people and you say, boy, I wish I was that godly. Can I tell you how you get there? I'm telling you right now. It is going through the test where your faith is constantly being tried. It is developing something in you that is not yet present in full measure. It is the purifying of your faith. Now, let me say something about a trial. A trial actually, in many ways, works against your faith and actually is a threat to your faithfulness in Christ. Remember what Peter said, the Lord said to Peter? He said, Peter, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as what? Wheat. What does it mean, sifting? It means the separating of the believer from his faith. But I have prayed for you that your faith or your trust in or your faithfulness to God fails not. And when you and I are going through a trial, a test, it's like two sides of the same coin. There's a heads and there's a tails. On one side of the trial stands the Lord. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What time I am afraid, I will trust in God. He is always with me. But on the other side of the coin is the devil. And he's not far away from you in a trial. Because what God is wanting to do is to prove your faith. What Satan is wanting to do is to destroy your faith. What God is wanting to do is to build you up. What Satan is wanting to do is to tear you down. And when you are in a trial, it is actually potentially working against your faith. One man said it this way, the natural effect of trials is to imperil your persistency in your faith. Your faith and your dependence on God is being put to test. So what James is envisioning and calling for is a right attitude towards trials. And that is to view them as an opportunity to grow, as an opportunity to develop. You know, every businessman is constantly looking for new opportunities to improve his business, new opportunities for sales, new products, you know, new people to call, come along, all right? What is a trial? It is a new opportunity for growth. That's what's happening in our life, and we need to look at it from that perspective with a positive attitude, all right? Many of us, we're all like this. We look at a trial, it's negative, it's hard, but let me put it this way. Every person who exercises knows that if you're going to get out and exercise the next morning, you're generally going to be what? Sore. But that soreness is a good feeling because you know that you're getting in shape. And the struggle is actually what's good. We are working towards greater faith. So number one, our faith is being tried. Number two, it is producing endurance. Endurance is what is, excuse me, let me back that up if I could. There we go. I got ahead of myself. There we go. It is producing endurance. Now, what is endurance? Endurance is carrying a heavy load for a long time. That's basically what it is. Strength in the sense of big muscles is how much you can lift. Endurance is how long you can lift it. When you look at a professional runner in the Olympics, if he runs the 100-yard dash, what does his body look like? It's usually like ripped with muscles, big legs, big arms. I mean, the guy is powerful. If you look at a marathon runner, what does he look like? Different body, skinny, all right? Now, what's God calling you to do, a 100-yard dash or a marathon? All right, look at the skinny runner. That's what you need to look at. Not physically, but that's what you're looking at. He has the ability. You know what amazes me about those guys is that it's not that they can run 26 miles, is that they can run 26 miles at about a 5-minute pace. That is absolutely incredible to me. Their ability to endure is unbelievable. This is what endurance is. It is your faith being stretched out. That's what's happening. It's like a muscle that becomes stronger when it faces resistance. God is building up your faith. Endurance is what comes out of your tried faith. We have another word for it. It's called perseverance. What does it mean to persevere? It means when things get severe, you just purr on through. That's what it means. It means to stay there. What do you want to do when a trial comes? Get out of it. Run from it. Get it out of your life. God is actually wanting you to not run from it, but stay under it. Because what's happening is God is bringing productive change in your life. It presents the picture of being under a heavy load and staying there instead of trying to escape. And endurance is a pure form of faith. It is a faith that succeeds. It stays with it. It trusts God all the way through. So the question is not, when am I going to get out of this trial? Or when am I going to get through the trial? The real question is, what am I going to get out of this trial? What is God going to do in my life? And when I am enduring, I am clinging to the truth with a persistence. I'm hanging on. That's what's happening. It's not just passive. It's an engaged waiting. It's leaning strong on the hand of God. And this is a reference, all of it, to our faithful living for Christ. You're learning to be faithful, to be consistent. And I can't tell you, I mean, I spend my life with preachers. My life is with pastors, okay? Preachers are different creatures. They're not like your normal Joe. And I mean, I'm just telling you, I live with preachers. That's my whole life. And most preachers I know are living under trials all the time. All the time. And they're having to trust God. You know why? Because they're the shepherd of souls. And you know what? The best preaching comes out of your life. When the congregation sees the preacher having to trust God, what does that do for them? It gives them an example, an illustration of faith. When we open our Bibles and we study about the men of God, what we discover about them are the trials they go through. When you think of Job, what do you think of? When you think of Abraham and Moses and David, you think of the trials that they went through. When you think of the Lord, what do you think of? You think of the fact that he endured and stayed with it and stayed faithful. Folks, endurance is a part of the Christian life. If you haven't figured that out, then go to Walmart and buy an alarm clock and wake up. You got to stay with it and stick it out. It's like concrete that's getting settled and hardened. Trials are settling us and confirming us in our faith. So when we go through trials, we're tempted to stop trusting God and start worrying. This is a big one. When we go through trials, we stop ministering to people and start withdrawing. I've seen it happen over and over in church. People go through a trial and they want to withdraw. They want to go home. They don't want to see anybody. They don't want to be with anybody. And they withdraw. Let me tell you something. Okay? Mark it down. Listen to me very carefully. You're making a big mistake. You know what you ought to do in a trial? You ought to be more resolute to serve God. You ought to stay with God. I've had pastoral friends this year have gone through incredible trials. Incredible trials. I mean, it was ugly. And I'm not surprised, but I'm always surprised at the joy that they have in the midst of the trials. And they've not thrown in the towel on God and quit and gone somewhere else. They've stayed right where they are and they keep serving God, keep trusting the Lord. Because folks, the devil is there in a trial. He wants to interrupt godliness so you can start being selfish. That's what's happening. So endurance is your faith stretched out. Then one last point, and that is it produces spiritual maturity. What's God really doing? He's growing us up. What does he say in verse 4? But let patience have a perfect work, that means in order that. So that. It indicates the purpose of letting endurance have its full work. It explains what that full work is. It's the ultimate purpose of your trials. Why are you going through a trial? So that you would be perfect. What does perfect mean? It doesn't mean sinless. It means mature or complete. It means fully developed, a grown up spiritually. Everybody knows that children are a blessing. Everybody knows that when children don't grow up, they're not a blessing. It's that simple. It is a happy day in the life of a parent to watch their children grow up, become mature, accept responsibility, and think right. Fact is, it is worth all the pain to watch your children grow up and listen to them speak and actually hear truth come out of their mouth versus stupidity. You understand what I'm saying? Can I get an amen on that one? Amen. And what do we want? We want our people to grow up. That's what God wants. We're his children. He wants us to mature. And then he says, and be complete or perfect and entire. The word complete is the idea of being sound and healthy in contrast to being sick. It's a wholeness. The idea here of the wholeness is the wholeness of character that we see produced when Paul talked about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, faithfulness. Those are healthy, sound qualities, like good, healthy fruit. And what James envisions is believers who are becoming mature in character. That their lives are being rid of laziness and bitterness and selfishness and jealousy and patience and self-pity and impulsiveness. These are the things that mar our wholeness in fellowship with God and the completeness of our maturity. He's wanting all those negative emotions, anger and fear and discouragement, all those things that come out of us. He is wanting us to grow out of those things and then replace in our life patience and goodness and gentleness and meekness and temperance and faith. And so James is calling for a response to our trials that are different than the natural human reactions that come out of us, where we complain and we feel sorry for us. He is wanting us to respond spiritually. But this spiritual response is not adapting a grim attitude, you know, like I'm going to gut it out. A stoic resignation. I'll be faithful though I am miserable. That's not what he is saying. Because when he opens The whole point on trials, his opening phrase is to count it all what? Joy. Rather, he wants us to have a joyful confidence in the Lord. So tomorrow night, we're going to talk about the whole idea of finding joy in your trials. How many of you would like to find joy in your trials? Okay, all right. And that joy is based on the way that we look at them and the way that we properly respond. So I hope you'll come back tomorrow night for our final lesson on getting the most out of your troubles. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Help us, Lord, to learn it, and help us, Lord, to embrace it and to trust in it and to live under it. And we thank you that you are faithful in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, service.